Whether it's slots or live dealers, SpinQuest.com has the fun and action you're looking for with SpinQuest exclusives, blackjack, roulette, baccarat, and even live dice with craps and bubble craps. The games never stop, so you don't have to. And right now, new users get $30 coin packs for just 10 bucks. Play now at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the press for today. It is Tuesday of Waste Management Phoenix Open Week. I'm Ryan Ballingy. Good to have you here with us. We are going to be talking through my model, the top 10 in that model for this week at the Phoenix Open, a stacked designated field. And we'll also go through some first round leader model results and some potential tips and plays there. You can get a hold of me on Twitter at Ryan Ballingy. You can become a GNM member for $50 a year through the end of February. And then it goes up to $100, well, $99 at golfnewsnet.com. Adding some tools today. We're going to do a player career trajectory tool today, which is going to be awesome. And then a player comparison tool that'll be out today to add some ideas out there. And then we're going to continue our profile publishing for this year, get our top 100. Probably it's going to be wind up being 200 players, but at least the top 100 will be out there for you to have profiles for free. We just published an event history tool for free as well. So if you want to look up leaderboards of tournaments by year, and then we're going to go ahead and start creating tools around history of particular seasons on the PGA Tour by year from 2011 onward. And we'll take a look at that as well. So lots and lots going on in the background, hopefully to provide value to you as a bettor, but also as a fan of golf. So let's look at the model for this week. We've got the Phoenix Open. As you know, we finished the Monday qualifier yesterday. Some pretty dramatic results, but guys that really aren't going to impact your thinking too much because most of them are guys that are super mega long shots. Andre Metzger, Delton Ward, Michael Hopper, really great stories, but they're 2,500 to 1. I mean, they're not playing into your thinking whatsoever this week, and hey, that's totally okay, but that's the reality of it for the Monday qualifiers, but still very, very interesting, and hopefully you get to follow that if you're interested in it. But the model for this week is kind of obvious, if we're being honest, and that's because 38 of the world top 50 are in the field. I mean, there's nothing here that's going to be surprising to you, I think, in the results of the top 10, which we go over each and every week. Maybe some surprises in the 11 to 20 range, but even then, I don't think you'd be all that shocked by the order of things. Jordan Spieth always rates out pretty poorly. That might be your only surprise. He's 25th in the model. I'll give that away. But he always kind of rates out poorly in the model because all of the bad stuff that he does is kind of starting to come off, and it'll improve probably pretty rapidly here in the next 4 or 5 months. But in the meantime, he's still got some stuff that's kind of got to come off that's not very good. Anyhow, we'll go over the top 10 for the week, knowing that last week Justin Rose rated out number 18 in our model. So that did pretty well for a wide open tournament with a weak field. I'd say that's pretty good. It's the only tournament really since the Open where Cameron Smith rated out number 16. And again, that was a long-term thing, not a current modeling thing. But that's the only tournament other than the U.S. Open, again, Matt Fitzpatrick 13th, where the winner was outside the top 11, going back a really long way, like back to last April. It's pretty crazy. So the model has been on a good run here, and we'll take 18th for Justin Rose for a tournament where you thought he could do something, but I'm sure you didn't think he could win. Anyway, let's look at our top 10 for this week. It's going to be pretty obvious. Rory McIlroy is number one. He comes out number one by a wider margin than he probably would if we did a shorter-term model here. Over Jon Rahm, they're 1 and 1A in golf, as far as I'm concerned, and I'm pretty sure as most people are concerned. And they would be closer if we kind of truncated the time period of which we measure things for the model instead of 1 and 2 years. If it were like 6 months in a year, I think you'd probably find Rahm and McIlroy dead heat right next to each other. But the longer-term implications of this actually make Jon Rahm and Patrick Cantlay and Xander Schauffele pretty close to one another in terms of the ranking. So Patrick Cantlay is third, Xander Schauffele is fourth, Justin Thomas is fifth, Scottie Scheffler is sixth, Shane Lowry is seventh. Again, long-term thinking here, but short-term maybe not as good. He's 60-1 this week, and there's a reason. He's not off to a great start in Switch Caddy, so something to think about there. Colin Morikawa is 8th, Tony Finau is 9th, and Max Homa is 10th. All of that makes sense. None of that is surprising, I don't think, except perhaps Lowry, even though he had a really great last couple of years. So you might see that as just kind of a blip in the radar, but we don't know if that's a blip that's becoming a bigger blob over the long haul for Shane Lowry and a point of decline. We don't know that, but I think every player in the top 10 here makes 100% sense to anybody who thought about it long enough. And I'm not exactly remembering off the top of my head who I put my top 10, just kind of arbitrarily thinking about it, not necessarily looking at the model yet, but it's pretty much these guys. I mean, I would say Shane Lowry's not in there, and that's probably it. I'd probably put Taylor Montgomery in there, and Taylor Montgomery, for just giggles, is 26th. He just doesn't have enough data and doesn't have enough strong competition like this to kind of weight him well in a model against strong competition. He kind of falters against that. I will say one surprise is Kurt Kitayama. Came in 20th in my model, and he seems to be an all-or-nothing guy. He benefits this time around from having relatively weak or limited access to high-quality fields, but like the CJ Cup last year, he did really well in it, so he kind of gets a big bump relative to his experience in these types of events. You may want to discount that to a degree. And then a lot of the guys we talked about on the Monday show, kind of looking at mispriced long shot guys, in my opinion. Taylor Pendrith rates out 30th in the model. He is 100-1. He's rated ahead in my model of some guys that are shorter, like Hoagie and Power and Wise, Billy Horschel. There's some numbers out there to be exploited. Then you've got Chris Kirk out there, who I saw at 180-1 on DraftKings. He is 37th in the model. I don't know if that price is still out there at the moment. Down to 100. So if you didn't take it, you missed your chance. People got on that really quick, as I told you it was going to happen. And if you take a look at another guy I was thinking about is Taylor Moore. And Taylor Moore is not rated well in my model. He is 250-1 still. So if you really wanted to take your gamble on Taylor Moore, that's still out there for you. Kurt Kitayama is still out there 180-1. But people jumped really quickly on Chris Kirk and took that number down in half. That was a complete misprice by the DraftKings book. I saw him at 80-1 over at the Westgate, and that seemed kind of more appropriate given the way that he was playing. So someone messed up or printed something wrong. I don't know what happened there, but that was one that could absolutely been exploited. And then Gary Woodland was one that we talked about, and he's at 150-1. That really hasn't moved, and I don't expect that to move a whole lot because he hasn't finished well. He's been gaining strokes, but he hasn't finished well, does well in this tournament. Taylor Pendrith, actually, 150-1, has come down, has been worsened to 150. So that might be something to fire if you haven't done that already. But if you missed Kirk, I'm sorry about that. I hope you did it yesterday. Now, want to get into the first round leader stuff, and then we'll come back to horses for courses in current form and round out this episode of the press. So the first round leader model last week was obviously very difficult. It's hard to do in three-round tournaments, three-course rotation, multi-course rotation tournaments, because you only get strokes gained on one of the courses, and that's not a big sample size over time. If you think about the Farmers Insurance Open, at least you get three rounds on Torrey South. You can easily make the case three rounds is worth it as each year a sample size if you make the cut. It's harder to make that case at two rounds a year on Pebble with amateurs at Pebble Beach. It's just harder to do. And one you might play just by yourself, and one you're definitely playing with your amateur. It's very, very hard to handicap, I think. This week we're obviously back to one course tournaments, and we've got that the rest of the way. So it's going to be a little bit easier for this model to make sense to people. But ran the model that, again, looks at first round strokes gained over the last 50 events, 20 events, 5 events, and the host course in the last 4 years, and puts all of that together. Also compares how players play in the last 50, 20, and 5 on golf courses with scoring averages in this approximate range of what we see for the host course. So this year, that is for Phoenix, it is a very tight scoring range. I mean, every year, it's somewhere between 70.3 and 70.9 something. It's a par 71 golf course. So the scoring average in round one is approximately a half stroke to zero strokes under par. So we're comparing that over that time range as well. And if you look at that, all that spits out, Colin Morikawa is number one in the model. And he's just a guy that plays harder golf courses well. He's a guy that plays harder competition well. That makes sense. Aaron Wise is number two. Scottie Scheffler is number three. J.J. Spaun is number four. And I think that's going to be an easy fire again this week, because once we get down to TPC first round strokes gained the last 4 years, you're going to see why. John Rahm, fifth. Patrick Cantlay, sixth. Rory McIlroy, seventh. Justin Thomas, eighth. Xander Schauffele, ninth. Tom Kim, 10th. Taylor Montgomery, 11th. And it goes on down from there. Gary Woodland is interesting to me because he's 16th in this model overall. And obviously he has a good track record on this golf course. But his first round strokes gained at TPC Scottsdale are not good. If you look at the last 4 years, first round strokes gained from these players, then the ranking is Billy Horschel, Sahith Theegala, Mark Hubbard, Xander Schauffele. You got to bet him as a first round leader. Patrick Cantlay, same thing. Alex Noren is in there, and he's playing good golf. Keegan Bradley appears on both lists, 14th overall, 7th here, so absolutely worth a fire in first-round leader bets. And then rounding out that top 10 to TPC Scottsdale, specifically John Rahm, Adam Hadwin, and Tom Hoagie. And I will point out that Cameron Young is 15th at Scottsdale, 18th overall. Also probably worth a look as well in that first-round leader model. He bashes the crap out of the ball. Obviously someone you want to think about this week on a golf course that has seemingly rewarded longer hitters increasingly more over the last decade since it was renovated in 2014. Now, let's get into some course fits and current horse-for-course plays and your history plays, your event finish history plays, horse-for-course guys. So, horse for course side of things, we have a bunch of twos, a bunch of guys who have two top 15 finishes in this event in the last 5 years. And going down alphabetically down that line of the twos, that's Ricky Fowler, James Hahn, Max Homa, who I'm going to be betting outright to win, Billy Horschel, Chris Kirk, who I'm betting outright to win, Matt Kuchar, Martin Laird, Hideki Matsuyama, who's twice a winner here. One of those is outside the scope of this. Scottie Scheffler and Gary Woodland. Then you have a 5, a 4, and a 3. John Rahm has been in the top 15 here all of the last 5 years. Justin Thomas, 4 of the last 5. And Xander Schauffele, 3 of the last 5. Obvious reasons to like them all. Then on the course fit side, if you look at TPC Scottsdale and what it looks like when a player finishes in the top 25 in a PGA Tour event and what the top 25 looks like as a makeup every year at this tournament, you average it all out in terms of how they gain strokes. You silo it out based on putting, tee to green, all the breakout of the tee to green stuff. TPC Scottsdale is a 32-68 course. So 32% of the strokes gained from the top 25 comes from putting, but 68% comes from tee to green. Off the tee is 23%. And if you compare that to other events on the PGA Tour, you kind of see, and we have this available for our members, course comparison, course fits. If you look at that number and you kind of look at the 32% figure, that's very similar to the Wells Fargo Championship, hence why someone like Max Homa would like it. It's very similar in a lot of ways to the Tournament of Champions. So the guys that played well there are going to like it. Justin Thomas is one. That makes sense. John Rahm is one. That makes sense. If you look at the Safeway Open, it's another one that lines up pretty darn well. That's, Fortinet Championship. That's Max Homa territory. If you look at RBC Heritage, that lines up extremely well. Believe it or not, even though they are completely different golf courses. But that lines up very well. So does the John Deere Classic. I'm not going to say that's a good proxy, though. And, I guess that's pretty much it on this list. So if you want some parallel courses to look at, believe it or not, Heritage, so Harbortown Golf Links, Kapalua, believe it or not, on the opposite end, wide, and then at the Wells Fargo, if you're looking at Quail Hollow, that's probably more, without the desert stuff, probably more apropos. So those are some parallel courses if you're interested in it. But some course fits for this week: Taylor Pendrith, Patrick Cantlay, Matt Fitzpatrick, Sam Burns. Sam Burns, you're going to get him on Bermuda. Sounds great to me. Take him if you're interested in that. And then we'll talk about recent history. Last five PGA Tour events, there are, 12 players who have at least two top 15 finishes in the last five PGA Tour events. Finau, Homa, Im, Tom Kim, Chris Kirk, Taylor Montgomery, Taylor Moore, someone to look at as maybe a super shocker, but I probably wouldn't play him in the long haul. If you want to look at Taylor Moore in a top 20 bet, that's probably not worth, or it's probably worth it. If you look at him in a top 10 bet, plus 1,400. Not too crazy. If you look at him in the top 20 market, plus 550. Maybe worth a little bit this week, just given that he's played pretty well the last couple of weeks, albeit in two very different tournaments. Farmers Insurance Open, very difficult golf course. Pebble Beach, difficult scoring conditions this past weekend. So, maybe worth a look here. A little bit easier for Taylor Moore trying to play some golf. So someone to look at there as well. So that's everything. That's what we're looking at in terms of modeling. That's current horses for courses. That's current form. All of that good stuff. It all kind of makes sense. It is a very relative. It's a relatively easy week to bet because the top is the cream of the crop. Those guys who are in the top 10 are probably your wagers for the week. But again, you want to have some fun. Take a couple deep shots. Maybe go after a Pendrith, a Kirk. Hopefully you got him early. Maybe a Taylor Moore. Consider Gary Woodland. Then on the first round leader side, you pretty much have to take J.J. Spaun at this point in the game. I think you got to look at Keegan Bradley. I think you can look at Gary Woodland in this market and Cam Young as well. So some guys to think about. And you're probably going to get a short shot that winds up doing it if we're being honest with one another. But that's out there as well. So worth taking a look at. And then remember from yesterday's show, hammer, win by zero strokes or one stroke. That's just the way that this tournament works. I would be surprised if we don't get another tight win again this year. That's going to do it for us today on The Press. Hope you enjoyed today's show. If you do, and you do listen to us through a podcasting service, please leave a nice review and a comment if that's possible. We appreciate it. It helps us reach more people. And if you have any questions, again, you can email me, ryan@thegolfnewsnet.com. Happy to talk to you about anything fantasy betting related for this week or future weeks. Thanks so much for listening. We will talk to you tomorrow as we wrap up our final card for the week and get ready for everything at TPC Scottsdale. Have a good one, everybody.
Whether it's slots or live dealers, SpinQuest.com has the fun and action you're looking for. With SpinQuest exclusives, blackjack, roulette, baccarat, and even live dice with craps and bubble craps. The games never stop, so you don't have to. And right now, new users get $30 coin packs for just $10. Play now at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.